We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning. Welcome to Sheffield Community Church. If you are joining us for the first time, we want to welcome you. If you're joining us from the UK or outside the UK, you're also very welcome. We had a very good service last week. Ashil Mayala shared with us from the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, talking about Zacharias. And this morning, I'm sharing from 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 to 11. We continue with the series, Open Doors to Favor. And this morning, we're on part 3, A Portrait of the King's Favor. A Portrait of the King's Favor. As Sheffield Community Church also, we celebrate this morning Jonathan and Camilla, who got married 2 weeks ago. They're back from their honeymoon. We just want to welcome you. If you're from SCC, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I'll start from verse 1 through to 11, if you could follow me. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodibah." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodibah. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I've given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Josheba had 15 sons. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for gathering us even this morning, wherever we are in the world. We pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to the word of God, and that Spirit of the Lord, you will go further than my words can go today. In Jesus' name, amen. A portrait of the king's favor. This is one of the greatest examples of grace and favor in the Old Testament. It's a passage about King David and how he related to Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son. Jonathan, you remember, was David's best friend. However, Jonathan was also the son of Saul. Saul had failed to lead God's people, and David was now king. We know that Saul and Jonathan had died by the sword of the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 31. And we are introduced to Jonathan's son in 2 Samuel chapter 4. verse 4, where we are told that Mephibosheth was only 5 years old. I like to believe he was only a kid playing like any other child, oblivious of what was happening around him. And when the news came through that the King Saul and Jonathan had been killed, the Bible says that his nurse quickly picked him up, and they were running for cover, running away from what they saw as impending death. They ran, and it was in this running that the nurse dropped Jonathan's son, and he crashed on the ground, and by so doing, he broke his legs. Therefore, he was now crippled for life. This is the story of Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. From that day onward, Mephibosheth probably believed that his destiny was finished. He probably believed that he was now going to live a life of destitution as a pauper instead of a prince. For him and those around him, the only way out was to hide. And so they found this place where they could hide. Nobody could find them. It was a forgotten place. Basically, he lost everything. His future, his throne, his hope were all gone. He was running away from David. And by the time we meet him in this passage, he's about 20 years old. And today I want to look at what can favor do in your life. There are practical things that favor can do. There are tangible things that you can experience when the door of favor opens in your life. And we're focusing particularly at the king. I was reading this text from verse 1 to about 13. The word king is mentioned more than 10 times. The author wants us to pick something from that portrait, the portrait of a king. The picture here is of a king who's ruling, a king who's in charge, and then he begins to go through some things. And one of the things that we see dispensing from his throne is favor. So what can favor do to an ordinary person like you and me this morning? Number one, favor is initiated by the king. Favor must be initiated by the king. From verse 1 to 2, we are told, David is asking a question. He says, is there still anyone left of the family of Saul that I may show kindness for the sake of Jonathan's sake? He says, is there anyone else who I can show favor from that family, Jonathan's family, that I can show favor, the favor of God, or the kindness of God to that person? David, by this time, you notice he's on his throne. He's the king of Zion. He's the one who starts the process of wanting to show his favor or his kindness to somebody from the family of Saul. And remember, Saul was his enemy. Saul was the king that God removed and replaced him with King David. So David is speaking from his throne as king of Israel, no longer a shepherd boy. There is something about a throne. It's a seat of power. It's a seat of authority. And David is saying, is there anyone? Is there anyone at all? Is there someone that I can show favor to, that I can show kindness to? You know, there's a throne in Zion where our Lord Jesus sits and rules from. The book of Hebrews calls this throne the throne of grace. It's a throne that we can access, but there are cultures and protocols that lead us to approach that throne. And I'm reminded of that throne today, even as David sat on that throne. And remember, David was one of the celebrated kings of Israel. And it is through David's rule that we are given a glimpse of the real king who rules from Zion. And it is in this posture that we see David sitting on his throne and is asking a very important question. Is there anybody I can show favor to? And this is the question that Jesus Christ is asking this morning to us, that is there anyone I can show favor to this morning on his throne of grace? Before we knew about God, God had already decided to pour out his love upon us. The book of Romans says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us so much that he died for us. He sought us out while we were yet sinners. He called us into the king's presence. He called us to this throne of grace. He counts us as his own children, but we got to come to the throne of grace. You and I, like Mephibosheth, we have no legal right whatsoever to the favor of God. and his grace. But due to God's covenant with his Son, Jesus Christ, we are related to the Son of God. We are related to God. So God's favor is extending to us as well this morning. So as we approach this throne of grace, I want us to know that there is provision of God's favor on this grace, on this throne. It's available to us. In that throne of grace, the provision of favor can be accessed. It is initiated by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. He is the one that sought for us. It is on this throne that he declares, I have set a door open for you, and no man can shut. He's declaring that statement from his throne of grace. This is a picture of God's unqualified favor. This story shows us unqualified favor, making us what we were not, and giving us what we could never earn or deserve. It's called favor of God. So the favor of God is always initiated by the king. It is David who seeks out for anyone at all related to Saul. It wasn't Mephibosheth who approached God. It was the king who approached Mephibosheth. Number two, what can favor do in your life this morning? Favor extends to wrong people in the wrong place. Favor extends to wrong people in the wrong place. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3 to 4, the Bible says, Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet. Verse 4. The king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodiba. Ziba's response to the king's question is very interesting because it's as if he's saying, yes, there is somebody, but you don't want to know about him. He's saying, he's not the kind of guy that fits the palace. His response leaves a lot of questions because he's careful not to mention the name at all, but he's quick to mention his condition. And his condition is that he's lame, he's crippled. And he doesn't say anything about the name. In fact, we only get to know his name in verse 6. And yet this story starts from verse 1. Ziba is careful. He's very, very careful. He confirms it that, yes, Jonathan has a son, but the son he has is crippled. What Ziba was failing to realize is that the favor of God supersedes your condition. The favor of God is so powerful that it can reach out to you past your condition. And that's a message for somebody this morning. Ziba is trying to preserve, the palace from people like Mephibosheth. Because as far as he's concerned, Mephibosheth is not good enough to be in the presence of the king. The name Mephibosheth itself means one who blows up on shame or scatters shame. We are not told whether this name he got it from his parents or whether it was a nickname that they gave him as a result of his condition. But whatever it is, it wasn't a pleasant name. In fact, he lived up to his name by the time he was 20 because he was in shame, he was despondent, he was helpless, and he was living in exile. That's his name. We live in a day and a time where people identify you by what's wrong with you rather than what's right with you. I've heard people say, have you seen that ex-convict? Or have you seen that ex-offender? When you're applying for a job, you need to state whether you've been to prison or whether you've lost all money before or whether you've been written off or something. They want you to remind them of your past. That's how we label people in the society we live. So Ziba was way ahead of his time. If they don't mention what's wrong with you, They have to pick on something about what you have or what you don't have. You know that guy? No, I don't know me. No, that guy who has got one trousers. That's how they identify us. That's Ziba's report. Ziba is the kind of guy who identifies people by what they have done in the past, and they refuse to accept what you can be. So Ziba gives the report of the crippleness of this man, but he doesn't only talk about the crippleness of this man. Ziba goes further to say, while this lame son of Jonathan lives in a place called Lodibar. So not only does he give the condition of this son, he also gives us the address of where this cripple lives. And the address is not a very good postcode. Kings don't come from Lodibar. Princes don't come from Lodibar. Princesses don't come from Lodibar. And Ziba knows that. So he gives the king the address to put him off, to say, how can a guy from Lodibar come to the palace to meet the king? Maybe I need just to remind you what Lodibar means. Lodibar, there are two words together. Lo means no, and Diba means pasture. So Mephibosheth comes from a place where there is no pasture. He lives in a place which is deserted, in a place that is the back of nowhere. It's barren. It's away from the prying eyes of the paparazzi. He's just on his own way, in his own place, a perfect place to hide. That's Lodibar. Where you're not noticed by anybody. Where you're not bothered by anybody. Where you don't draw attention from anybody. It's a place of hiding. And kings, as far as Ziba was concerned, don't come from Lodibar. You know what? This was a wrong man coming from a wrong place as far as people like Ziba were concerned. They did not deserve the favor of God. They did not qualify for the favor of God. People from Lodibar don't deserve anything from God at all. They don't deserve anything from the king, but the king thought differently from Ziba. Thank God that King David was different. He thought differently about people like Mephibosheth. The perfect place for God to bless him. Here is a wrong man coming from a wrong place, but he's not alone. We are told in the Gospel of Luke 15, there was a prodigal son. The Bible says he actually lived among pigs. He lived in a pig pen. He ate from there. And yet the favor of God raised that boy from that pig pen to the father's house. There is another boy as well in the Bible. The scripture tells us of a young boy who was taken into a pit, removed from that pit, sold into Egypt as a slave, and he found himself in a dungeon in a prison in Egypt. It is from that dungeon, that postcode, that address, that wrong place of a dungeon, that the favor of God lifted him and placed him in the palace of Pharaoh. He is not alone. He's not alone. Mephibosheth is not alone. There are several people from Lodibar today that need the favor of God to appear to them. There's a Samaritan woman who was found in a well in the middle of the day trying to get some water. That is a Lodibar place. She didn't want to be seen by anybody. She didn't want to talk to anybody. That's why she went in the middle of the day. And yet the favor of God appeared to her and lifted her off that water place and gave her the water of life. Like David, God is sending out messengers this morning to look for you. Wherever you are in Lodibar, we have said this before, that the grace and the favor of God will find you. Will find you. Lodibar is not hidden from the favor of God. Lodibar is not hidden from the eyes of God that roam about from east to south, from north to west, searching for those that are hiding from his favor. David, writing in Psalms 40, verse 2, he says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. We have a loving Savior that is seeking after us. We are called by his name, and he's calling our name right now, just like Mephibosheth. We may be lame on both our feet, but that does not disqualify us from the favor of God. God is coming for you. Number three, what does favor do for people like you and me? Favor will give you access to the King. Favor will grant you access to the King. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, from verse 5 to 6, we meet Mephibosheth, who has now been brought to the king. He's coming from Lodibar. In Lodibar, he lost everything. He lost his rank. He lost his prestige. He lost his royalty. He lost his pride. He lost everything. He went from prince to servant. He went from powerful to afraid. He went from being helpless to being even hapless, and being completely lost in terms of destiny. He was lame. He had nothing. He deserved nothing. He could repay nobody with anything because he was nobody. And yet, David dispatched his child to pick this man up. You can imagine Mephibosheth hearing people coming to his home where he's hiding. He has been waiting for a day in fear that maybe King David will send some soldiers to just wipe the whole place out. Because in those days, a new king was expected to get rid of any offspring from the previous king. Any offspring. Because he didn't want a threat to his kingdom. So Mephibosheth knew that one day they're going to find out where I am, and that will be the end of me. So he's out there in Lodibar with a distant family relative, hiding. And he hears the noises. And he realizes that, these are the king's messengers. And so he's picked up, taken to the king. Even as he approaches the king, the Bible says he paid homage to the king. He just lay prostrate before the king. In fact, he calls himself a dog, because a dog in that culture was good for nothing. He sees himself, his self-perception, his self-image was that of a dog. He's waiting for the sword to come and land on his neck. And it's not the sword that landed on his neck that day. He hears the voice of the king calling him by name, Mephibosheth. David calls him by name. He says, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, I'm your servant. This is him answering the king. You know, that day, King David, instead of giving him a death sentence, David gave him freedom. Jesus is in the business of giving you freedom. While on his throne, David gives an edict. He gives a law, and he says, this man will not die. I give him freedom. He says to Mephibosheth, paraphrased, stop hiding. Stop hiding. I've not come to kill. I've come to give you life, and life in abundance. It's only a thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come to give you life, ever-flowing life, life that will take you to eternity. This is the life I've come to give you. This is what David says. And this is what Jesus is saying this morning. Yes, I know you've been crippled by sin. Yes, I know that you are in a helpless condition. But I've come to declare that you are free from this day. That's what David says. The prophet Isaiah says, there is none that is righteous, no one at all, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need Jesus Christ this morning. You know, David could have sent money to Lodibar. David could have sent supplies to Lodibar. David could have sent a whole new wardrobe in Lodibar. He could have done a lot, but David does not do that. David fetches him from Lodibar and brings him to the palace. Because that is the God we serve.
God will not leave you in that condition. God will not leave you in that wrong place. God wants to step you up. He wants to lift you out of that condition. He loves you so much that he can't leave you there. The favor of God will lift you from that place. God will not leave you in Lodibar. He will bring you out. He won't just sanitize you there. He will cleanse you and give you a new life. He brought him to the palace. He gave him a new place. So it's not only freedom that he got from God, from the king. He got a new place to live. A new place that is sin, that is not intoxicated with wrong thinking, intoxicated with failure. It was a whole new place with a new culture, a new way of living. Favor promoted him from a place of barrenness to a place of forgiveness. It was a place of favor, not a place of humiliation. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bring you to a place of favor, a place of blessing, a place of forgiveness. Lodibar is not a place of forgiveness. Mephibosheth was disabled. Mephibosheth was victimized. He was ostracized, maybe even uncultured. He was a loser, unlovable. But the favor of God lifted him off that place and brought him to a new place, brought him to Jerusalem. He brought him to Zion, a place of grace, a place of favor, a place in the palace. Because in the palace, his presence in the palace was not dependent on his condition. It was dependent on the king's favor, which was freely extended to him. You know what else David gave this young man? David gave him a fresh start in life. A fresh start. He had access to the king. And it is this access to the king that opened the door for him to start a new life. No more barrenness. No more destitution. No more resentment, being angry with what happened to you, being bitter with what happened to you. It was in Jerusalem, it was in the palace that Mephibosheth had to change the way he viewed life. It was a fresh start, an open door, where God was saying, I want you to come through this door, because I've come to give you life. You have an opportunity this morning to have a fresh start. You have an opportunity this morning to forget the past and see the new that God is bringing into your life. For the past is gone. The new has come. You are now a new creation. And God is ushering you into a new way of living. As Mephibosheth realized that morning, you may be spiritually disabled this morning. You may be lost in ignorance and in sin, hiding from God, running as fast as you can from Jesus Christ. I've come to announce to you that Jesus is your rest. You can enter your rest this morning. No more hiding. He is your shelter. He is your refuge. He is the tower of safety. You can come to him this morning. He is very faithful. Amen. And I want to just give you the last point and then we will pray. Favor can give you what you did not pray for and much, much more. Favor can give you what you did not pray for and much, much, much more. In verse 8 of 8 and 9, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and all his house I've given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. So David is now talking to Ziba, the guy that has been economic with the truth, the guy that has been trying to hint at King David that this guy you are looking for does not belong here. Now you need to understand Ziba. The Bible says Ziba had 15 sons. I don't know whether you get what I'm talking about right now. You need to understand Ziba's behavior. Ziba had 15 sons, but the favor of God skipped The first, the second, the third, and the 15th one, and landed on Mephibosheth. No wonder Ziba was difficult. No wonder Ziba was economic with the truth, because Mephibosheth had not prayed for this. Mephibosheth had not asked for this, but the favor of God skipped some people. You remember me saying to you, favor is unfair. Why not my son? Why not even one of them, Lord? Why not one of them, King David? And God said, this favor is for Mephibosheth. Favor is unfair. You know why it's unfair? Because you did not pray for it. Let me help you a bit here. Mephibosheth's encounter with the king was not just a breakthrough that lasted for a moment. When Mephibosheth encountered the king, it's what I call favor. Here's the difference. A breakthrough is something you pray for concerning a specific situation in your life. And so you petition God and say, God, I need a breakthrough with a job. I need a breakthrough with a house. I need a breakthrough with a hand in marriage, for someone to ask for my hand in marriage. You can ask, that's a breakthrough. It's a specific answer to a specific petition you presented to God. It can be big, it can be small, but God answers you. Then you say, I had a breakthrough. But when we talk about the favor of God is different in that it's something that God gives you that you did not ask for. And that which he gives you, which you did not ask for, makes a permanent transformation to your life. You are never the same after that favor. You are never the same. With breakthrough, you can experience it, and maybe some things will still be not in place. But with the favor of God, basically is breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, but you are not in charge. Did not present a prayer request to it, but God breaks through anyway into your life. So here is Mephibosheth. He has been praying probably for freedom just so that he can live and not die. But when he comes to the presence of the king, number one, the king gives him freedom. Number two, the king gives him a fresh start in life. Number three, so from number three onwards, he did not pray for that. He gives him restoration. He says to him, listen, whatever was lost by your grandfather Saul, who was king, I restore it to you. Now, you must remember, Saul was a king. He owned a lot of stuff. And David says, whatever Saul owned as a king, it's now yours. I'm reminded of Jesus who says, whatever belongs to me now belongs to you, because I go to the Father. Secondly, what does he give him? He gives him provision. Provision, he says to him, listen, you, Ziba, you and your 15 sons and your 20 servants, from now onwards, I want you to go and till the land and bring its produce to your master, Mephibosheth. From this day onwards, his provision was taken care of. That's more than a pension system. He did not ask for provision. He had lost all that. But what does God do? When favor breaks into your life, you even get things that you did not pray for. The last thing that Mephibosheth did not pray for that shocked him was that David gives him honor. He gives him honor. He says to him, from now onwards, you are not going to live in Lodibar. You are done with Lodibar. From today onwards, you shall live here in the palace with me and eat with me as one of my sons. I'm reminded when Jesus says we are of royal priesthood. We are seated in the heavenly places with Christ, in Christ, by Christ, for Christ, with him. He says, I no longer call you servants anymore. I call you my friends. Something shifts when you get the favor of God. And David says, yes, you're my enemy before, but not so anymore. You are now like one of my sons dining with me. In other words, it's not only getting a glimpse of access to the king, you will have access to the king whenever, always, as when you have dinner with me. You'll be in my presence. You'll be in my presence forever. Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit. My Father in heaven will send the Holy Spirit to you. He will be with you. He will teach you. He will comfort you. He will remind you of what I've taught you. That's the Holy Spirit. He will be with you always. Always. The presence of God will be with you always. That's the favor of God initiated by a king. David didn't just show mercy to Mephibosheth. He didn't just spare his life. He gave him a new home. He gave him a new name. He gave him a new identity that had nothing to do with Mephibosheth. He was now a new creation. He had new life. He could start afresh. As you go on to verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 9, he says he even had a son called Micah. He brought them together. Now, Mephibosheth belonged to a family. Jesus is inviting you to a family today. He's not inviting you to an institution. He's not inviting you to a network. Jesus is not inviting you to an organization. Jesus is inviting you to his family, a family of God's people, a family that has been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, a family that can be sealed. You can be sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit today. If only you could come. If only you could come to him today. His favor is extended to you. But the way you approach this favor of God is through a protocol. Because this is a kingdom. A kingdom has got a culture, a protocol. You approach this kingdom by grace. There's a throne. As you approach this throne, you come to him and say, I am nothing. I can't do it on my own. I'm helpless. Lord Jesus, would you extend your hand of grace to me? Would you extend your favor to me? Maybe you're like that today. Maybe you've never ever asked for God to come into your life. You have never ever asked for anything at all from God because you think you're self-sufficient. You think you can make it on your own. But I've come to announce to you today that without the favor of God, you are still stuck in Lodibar. There's nothing to hide in Lodibar for while the favor of God is searching for you. You can respond this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. You can respond this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. If you're that kind of a person today, I want to pray with you. Don't stay an hour longer in Lodibar. You are not a wrong person. You are the right person, fit to have God's hand extended to you. God's grace extended. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to earn the favor of God. You just come as you are. Let him change you. Let him transform you this morning. So I want to pray with you. Lord Jesus, as they come, as they lift up their hands from wherever they are, as they hear my voice this morning, there's that young man, there's that young lady, there's that elderly gentleman somewhere who has been hiding from God, who has been on the run, who has been thinking that God is after him, is thinking that God is out to fix him. But I've come to announce this morning that Jesus is coming for you to extend his grace over your life. For you have come to Mount Zion, where the grace of God abounds. There is life in Jesus. He has come to give you a fresh start. He says, I've opened the door. If only you could open your door, he will come in this morning and dine with you. So Lord Jesus, you see these hearts that are open. Even as they join us on Facebook, on YouTube, or on audio, they hear this voice. And I want you to say this with me from wherever you are. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life this morning. May you come and dine with me. Forgive me for my sins. As of this day, I give up trying to live this life in my strength. I surrender to you, Lord Jesus. Would you come into my life and reign? Would you give me strength? Would you fill me with your spirit this day? From this day onwards, I'm a new man. I turn away from my life in Lodibar, and I choose to walk a new life today. I take a fresh start today with Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. And God's people said, amen. Before I sign off today, just a few minutes, just to pray for those that are sick this morning. I want to pray for healing this morning. We serve a Lord who's able to heal, a God who's able to break anything in your life that is causing you to be unwell, to be distressed, to be feeling any form of fatigue. I want to pray with you today. Lord Jesus, would you stretch out your hand? My God, would you heal? To everybody listening right now, let your healing power flow. Whether it's a headache, whether it's a skin rash, whether, my Lord, it's COVID. Lord, COVID is not stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether it's cancer, whatever it is, by your stripes, we are healed. By your stripes, we're healed this morning. So, Lord, I release that healing power, that it may flow and cause healing wherever it goes. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you this morning. It was lovely meeting up with you. Next week, we start on the Advent series. Remember, we're preparing for celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And so from next week, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And for those of you that are in Sheffield, we look forward to meeting soon in 2 weeks' time. The government might change the regulations a bit to allow us to gather once more in person. We will still continue meeting online, but if you're able to come here to the building in 2 weeks' time, we are waiting for you. You're welcome. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could wait for the next part, amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.